Meta is getting out of the VR gaming business to refocus on AI-powered wearable devices. Plus, an old game is now harder due to younger generations. Tonight is January 18th, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Pod Culture will have an order of hogwash. Hold the sports ball. It's fine. My team got eliminated 18 days ago, so I don't care about tomorrow night. My wife's from Indiana, so I guess I do care a little bit. Anyway, welcome to a non-sports ball edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice Geeks Network, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. But this is a podcast, so you can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. And that's where you can find throughout the week. In fact, every article that we're talking about tonight is actually from our Discord server. It was actually sourced by you all. It's what you all wanted to bring up here. And it's some sad but inevitable news. And then another one that's just like, trying not to be kids these days. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. Also, happy Animal Crossing 3.0 release day, release week to those who celebrate. I have not celebrated yet. People are asking if I could celebrate, if I will celebrate. So far, not yet. The thing with me and Animal Crossing, and I've told it before, especially New Horizons, is that it takes me back for whatever reason. That game, not any of the other games that I played, take me back to what I was feeling in March and April and May of 2020, and I did not handle it well. I'm better now. I'm way better now in 2026, so don't worry about me. But I was not then. And even though, like, yes, I played like all the way through Persona 5 Royal, 120 hours. I played Yakuza Like a Dragon over 100 hours during that same time. Final Fantasy VII Remake during that time. Those don't take me back to what I was feeling like I do when I hear the Animal Crossing New Horizon theme. And so I don't know if I can ever boot it up again, because I just don't want to get go back to that place in my head. But Fifth Dream, on the other hand, says it's helping him get through the current awful feels of the current society. So, and Pod Culture says same. So it's great for those that could use a little bit of happiness right now. And Dark Tatsuya says, I did pick it up again, mainly to get working on the Zelda stuff. I did find it interesting because I did watch some videos on it. And I find it interesting. It doesn't actually just take you out to Nintendo Switch Online when you get the... When you do get to get the consoles in your house, which actually apparently takes like a couple weeks, unless you time travel and don't upset Rossetti. But it's actually in the game. Like, it doesn't take you out of Animal Crossing. But you still need a Nintendo Switch Online subscription, because that's where the licenses are to play those games. It's actually like in Animal Crossing. It doesn't keep you in. So I thought that was interesting. And I have my island still. I would go back to my existing island. And Pod Culture says Rossetti is pretty chill now. Well, that's good, because he's had decades of not being chill. And he deserves a break. He deserves some chill vibes. I hadn't picked it up yet. I did finally like roll credits on Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. If you want to know like how back far I am on my backlog, I did finally roll credits, and Rossetti got therapy. Yes, absolutely. next weekend, I will still be here. Like, everything's still going to happen here. But I am going to be at a board game convention, tabletop role-playing board game convention, here in Atlanta. It's by the people who do Southern Fried Gaming Expo. It's called Dice and Diversions. Get it? D&D. Get it? Get it? Get it? It is at the Atlanta Marriott Northwest this weekend. And it is essentially, so the Southern Fried Gaming Expo is an arcade pinball convention loosely modeled after California Extreme. They wanted to bring California Extreme to this area. Dice and Diversions is loosely modeled on, very loosely modeled on Gen Con in Indianapolis. So the way they have games, there are ticketed games, there are even... sessions you can pay to get into that's also include food. They call them eat, play, win, where you go in, you play, you know, you get served lunch or dinner, and then you get taught a game that is related to whatever you're having, whatever you're eating, and then you get a chance to win the game. I actually came home with, like, a bunch of games that are still in the shrink wrap from the raffles and various raffles and stuff. So I actually really do enjoy Dice and Diversions. Only about a couple hundred people come to it, so it's pretty chill. Has some vendors. There's a game library. Basically, you have you can check out any game in their massive game library. You can find your new best game. There are also also vendors there where you can buy gaming and gaming accessories. There are tabletop role playing games, campaigns going all weekend. So it's a fun time. It's one of the few conventions I go to as an attendee. Like, I am not doing panels. I am not doing any type of media. I'm just there. And that's the type of thing that I probably need right now. And good news, if people care about my personal situation, I get my car back tomorrow. So my wife's car, I mentioned this last week, like, I took my car into the shop. I had to get some body work done. And before I went up to AGDQ, and then my wife's car didn't start when she went to pick me up from the airport, which is why I was, like, rushing, and last week's show wasn't as prepared as it was, because it took me, like, 3 hours to get home because I had to take the train and then a Uber and a Lyft and all that stuff. But it turns out just the thing we were trying to jumpstart her car with was needed to get charged itself. So we were able to jump it, took it to a body an auto repair shop around here, and they're like, yeah, nothing's wrong. There's just maybe a dome light was left on and the battery drained, and, you know, by circumstance you didn't charge up your portable jumper, and everything's fine. So we've been driving that all week, and then the shop called Friday at like 3:30 saying, yeah, your car's ready if you can pick it up in the next 30 minutes. And I'm like, y'all are Atlanta's 2 hours away from Atlanta, and so I pick it up tomorrow. So didn't have to get a rental car. I have my own car back tomorrow. And so we'll be able to have all that stuff. So, yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, Dice and Diversions. If you're going to be in the Atlanta area, come check it out. It is not that expensive to get into. And it's just something you can drop in and enjoy. So, yeah, let's talk about the things that are coming on that are happening this week, the things that pass through our Discord server that people wanted to talk about. And I thought this was interesting because I also don't want to fall into the trap of, I don't want to say kids are stupid, because they're not. Okay. Kids are exposed to what they can get exposed to. And over time that changes. The things I was exposed to as a kid were different than the things even kids 10 years younger than me were exposed to, were different than those that, you know, 10 years later were exposed to, and so on and so forth. But what it has done is it has made a game, an alternate reality game that is on Steam. So it uses more than just the in-game stuff. It has made it harder, because when the game was released just in 2018, which is, I'm like, oh, that was only like 2 or 3 years ago. No, that was 8 years ago. When it was released in 2018, it used a mechanic that not many teenagers today use, and they don't know how to use it because they haven't had to use it. It's not something that's been exposed to them. And so it's very interesting seeing it happen there and how basically the reviews even got worse because they're like, the game is too hard. The game is too hard. The game is too hard. Why? Because they have to write an email. Polygon reports that both Gen Z and Gen Alpha are plagued by accusations of learned helplessness from teachers, parents, and news publications. Now, a game developer claims he's had to deal with a worrying lack of basic life skills among his younger players, and it's negatively affecting the reputation of his Steam game. After Hours is a 2018 alternate reality game where players scour notes and letters hidden in a computer to solve the mystery of why a scientist went missing 30 years ago. Which is obviously 1960, right? 1950, that was 30 years ago. It's a remake of another popular Newgrounds games called 128K that got remade with new puzzles after enjoying a successful Kickstarter campaign. Like any good ARG, After Hours expects players to go beyond the confines of the actual game to uncover its central enigma. The official description reads, quote, "If you would find yourself in front of an old computer today and discover something you don't really understand, what would you do? Pick up your smartphone and Google, right?" Unquote. When it first came out, After Hours wasn't a smash hit, but it did well enough. Despite being a challenging and unconventional game, the reviews were mostly positive early on. So, anticipating that players might have a hard time, developer Peter Malmahead introduced a clever hint system. Throughout the experience, fans talk with someone who has an email clearly displayed throughout their correspondent. The intent here is for players to realize that they can send a message to that email in real life as well. The system is set up to recognize keywords in the email and will use those to send a canned message that will enable players to move forward in the game. Back in 2018, people seemed to catch on to the conceit quickly, but by 2024, Malmahead says something weird started to happen. Suddenly, the emails coming through didn't have a message at all. Instead, players repeatedly kept typing their entire inquiry into the subject line. The players couldn't figure out how to use email, let alone solve the mystery at the root of the game. The system couldn't help them because it wasn't designed to read the subject line. Suddenly, After Hours reviews started trending downward. So starting in 2024, it was called Too Hard. Malmahead told Polygon that the system received around 2,000 emails in 2025 alone, and he said, quote, "I'd say about a third of them doesn't have a body and is subject only," unquote. Many of the messages are also written in mostly lowercase letters. He continued, quote, "That's something I've noticed a lot of young people are doing these days, so I believe the users are, in general, pretty young," unquote. So Malmahead admits he can only speculate as to who is writing the emails, but... what I think is because of this is because kids today, especially, don't have to email. They text and they use apps and they send DMs, and there is no such thing as a subject and a body in an Instagram DM or a WhatsApp message or Snapchat. There is no such thing as a differentiating between a subject and a body. So when they have to send an email, they're like, well, here's the subject, boom, gone, done. And you don't put anything in the body because you wrote everything you wanted to write in the first thing. That makes sense. I don't think it's as much kids are stupid as it is kids today don't need to email, and so they don't know how to email. Tireclaw says kids do have access to an email since they need one in order to sign into social media and Discord. Yes, but they don't write emails. Email is what you need to get information. You don't need to write them. So it's kind of like also how younger generations today don't need to know how to use a computer. And I even saw it when I was helping with Games Done Quick, which I was at a couple weeks ago, not to always continue to bring them up, but it's something that I saw when we were doing all those online events, when GDQ was not in person. I started in that online era, and I was even doing like some tech checks where I was checking people's streaming apparatus so they could stream and be on GDQ, a process they still use today for everything that's not a mainline GDQ, because a lot of their other stuff is people doing stuff from their homes. It's a really interesting setup. But what we learned is that even a lot of speedrunners, if they are not streamers themselves, which not every speedrunner is a streamer, they actually say, you know, this is why I don't use computers. This is too complicated. They play the game, but they don't know the first thing about how to open a file on a computer because they use their phones for everything. And there's an app for that. We took away the need to have a computer. And even, I mean, even Apple a couple years ago had a campaign about the iPad where the kid's literally like, what's a computer? Because the kid has the iPad with keyboard and stuff. So, like, you know, what's a computer? You don't need a computer. I have an iPad. And that was the future of computing, where you didn't need to know how to use a computer. You need to know how to use an iPad or another tablet computer or something like that. And so that's not really them being stupid. It's them not needing to know. And it's pretty hard for, you know, even my parents were like, man, you know, my son, Bobby, doesn't know how a radio works. Because kids my dad's age, they took apart their radios and they put it back together. And that's how they learned electronics. And I didn't need to do that. So I didn't know how, like, I didn't know the intricacies of how a radio worked. I wasn't stupid. I just didn't need to know that stuff. And I guess when we talk about, like, AI and stuff, that's, it's, you know, going more towards, you don't need to know how to do these things that you learned how to do. The future generations don't need to know that because they're going to have something else that's going to do that for them. I am anxiously awaiting my Commodore 64 Ultimate. Hopefully next month I will get my Commodore 64 Ultimate, but already there are people on, like, you know, subreddits and Facebook groups that get pushed to me by the algorithm saying that they are working on AI chatbots to write basic games on the Commodore 64, writing the actual games in BASIC. And there is actually a way, there's a web interface on that you can connect to your Commodore 64 Ultimate and just have it push to it. And to me, like, the whole point of writing basic games was to learn how the computer worked. But the later generation, they're like, I can't wait to have AI write a game for me and play it. Because they don't need to know what poke and peek were. They don't need to know what all the registers were, how to change the colors. You don't need to know that anymore. It's 2026. They're not stupid. It's just not something that you need to know. So it's a very interesting observation that, you know, a game that was came out in just in 2018, which doesn't seem like all that long ago, is now harder because a core mechanic of it is not something that younger generations use that much. And they don't need to know email etiquette. And it's one thing, you know, there used to be computer classes in school when I was a kid, and even when a lot of millennials were kids as well. But then there was this shift in, like, 2005, 2006, probably in the 2000s, maybe even the 2010s, that, oh, kids already know everything about computers. That we don't need to put a computer class in school because they just inherently know how computers work. Because kids that grew up in the 80s and 90s and the early 2000s had to know how computers worked. And then we stopped making them have to know. Immortal King says Radio Shack is a lost treasure. I agree. I miss my Radio Shack. I thought that this story was very interesting, that in what he is doing, the developer is actually rewriting his bot that monitors emails to look at the subject as well. So instead of, like, just bemoaning this, he is actually changing his bot to also look in the subject. So younger generations can continue on in the game, because they were complaining, they were emailing, and nothing was happening because he expected the keywords that he was searching for to be in the body. And so now he just needs to update it, have it look in the subject as well. Quote-unquote, problem solved. He did quote, because he did says that he's bewildered, but he's moving ahead with empathy, which I believe we should all do, which is what I'm trying to do. He does say, Melmahead says in this article, quote, no form of modern communication requires a subject and a body. It's easy to see how people who are not familiar with email aren't filling out both fields, unquote. And Fifth Dreams says, just invent better kids. And I, this is also why, like, you know, I try, I don't have kids. So let me preface this. I don't have kids. I'm not going to have kids. You know, I know other people's kids. I'm fine with other people's kids. I don't hate kids. I just don't want any of my own. But I always kind of push back against my friends who are parents a little bit, who are like, I don't like their speed. I don't like their slang. My slang was the best. The 80s slang was the best. I don't get this 6-7 crap, and I don't blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, they did. My parents didn't get our slang either, because a lot of the slang is based on the media that you consume. They're like, well, I wasn't talking about media. I'm talking about social media. I'm like, that's the media they consume. My slang in the 80s came from MTV, which was highly influenced by surfer culture, even though I'm nowhere near an ocean. Kids, today's slang comes from social media, because that's the media that the kids were exposed to. My parents' slang came from jazz. It came from bebop. You were a hip cat, you know, boogie and all that stuff. Like, that came from jazz. And so, you know, and MTV didn't exist when my parents were kids, so they didn't like the fact that MTV was where I was getting all my slang, because it wasn't the same as theirs. So, and the kids today, they're going to become parents, and they're going to hate the slang that their kids use, and they're going to hate the, what their kids are exposed to, and it's just how life works. Now, S. Jaron and Matt says, let's not get into Common Core math stuff. The math I grew up was all wrong, apparently. Now, let me just put it this way, because you said, let's not get into it. The math you grew up was not wrong. The math you grew up with was good for your brain. I wish I had been taught math in what is today called Common Core. I have looked it up. I never really got great at arithmetic. But I looked at some of the stuff that is quote unquote Common Core that everybody it rails against. And I'm like, if I had been taught that when I was a kid, I would be so much better at math today. And the reality is every kid's brain is different. Nobody can get taught in the exact same way. So even though Common Core did not mesh with SSJ 100 Matt, and the way that Matt was taught as a kid is the way that his brain works, it wasn't for me. And the Common Core stuff, I'm like, that makes complete sense. And if I had been taught that as a kid and not like read through it as an adult when somebody was complaining about it, and I was like, wait, that makes total sense to me. Like, that, I wish I had learned that way. You know, it's just everybody's different. Lawson Thompson's in chat. Hey, how you doing? Saying there are a lot of current tech which are throwbacks to prior generations already. Email subject body is old school business memos and paper trail with envelope and letter. And do we need to mention the save icon being a floppy diskette? Which I believe in Japan, somebody's like in Japan, some kids are like, why is the save icon a vending machine? Because that's what it looks like to them. Yeah, so this is After Hours. I had actually never really heard of it. I don't follow the ARG scene, but apparently it's pretty good. And if you can email, it's even better. Let's talk about VR. Let's start talking about the stuff that's going on in VR. I can't believe I actually defended the purchase in 2012. I actually defended it. I thought it was going to be a good thing for VR. I was wrong about that in 2012, so that's why I don't like it when people go back to my old episodes. Thankfully, most of you don't. But let's talk about Meta. And Meta, or Facebook, purchased Oculus in 2012 with the idea of, you know, Zuckerberg thought VR was cool, bought Oculus so he could have something other than social media. And then priorities changed over the years, and now they are completely changed. So what Meta also did in the 2010s and in the early 2020s is that they purchased a lot of VR studios, or they even purchased competitors and brought them under the Meta umbrella. And so essentially they took a chokehold on the entire VR industry, basically. Yes, there were people that weren't, there were studios and people working on things that weren't Meta, but they were taking like the best and the biggest and bringing them under the Meta banner. And now they are removing all that. They're getting rid of all that. Upload VR reports that Meta has shut down Twisted Pixel Games, which did Deadpool VR, Sanzaru Games, which did Asgard's Wrath, and Armature Studio, which did Resident Evil 4 VR. The New York Times reported earlier that Meta is laying off more than 10% of its Reality Labs division, specifically targeting teams working on VR and Horizon Worlds. Upload VR can confirm those layoffs are being conducted this week, and there's a document indicating the entirety of three of Meta's acquired VR game studios are affected: Twisted Pixel Games, Sanzaru Games, and Armature. So, Twisted Pixel Games was founded in 2006 and mostly made Xbox games published by Microsoft for the first decade of its existence. They were behind Splosion Man and Miss Splosion Man, if you remember those Xbox Live Arcade titles. In fact, Microsoft owned the studio from 2011 to 2015 when it became an independent company again. So, Twisted Pixel released four VR games from 2017 to 2019. Wilson's Heart for the Rift, which was a 2017 black-and-white psychological horror game with voice acting from Peter Weller, Alfred Molina, Rosario Dawson, and Michael B. Jordan. B-Team on the Oculus Go and the Quest, a 2018 collection of minigames, including a running game where you avoid obstacles in a wave shooter, ported to Quest in 2020. Defector for the Rift, a 2019 action-packed spy thriller reminiscent of Mission Impossible. And Path of the Warrior for Rift and Quest, a 2019 brawler, essentially a first-person VR take on games like Streets of Rage, Final Fight, or Double Dragon. In 2022, Twisted Pixel Games was acquired by Meta, and just 2 months ago, it released what it had been working on since then, Deadpool VR, the latest Quest-exclusive VR blockbuster. And I believe Neil Patrick Harris was the voice of Deadpool in that one. And that Meta is shutting down the studio already suggests that the $50 exclusive did not sell as well as the company had hoped, or that it did not spur enough Quest headset sales, the real purpose of Meta's high-budget content. And Deadpool VR was all over the Keeleyverse and stuff, and I was like, yeah, can it be on PC? Lawson Thompson says, I was all set to finally buy a Meta 3 for my Elite Dangerous obsession and replace my OG Vive. Now I'm not sure, and I might hold out for the Steam frame, but at three times the price, probably. I had a Meta Quest 3 through work, my last job, and it was cool. I did some stuff in it. I was more programming in it, and then when I left that job, I gave back their Quest 3, because that's what you do. You don't burn the bridge. So they have it back now, and I was like, yeah, maybe I'll get one. And now I'm like, okay, well, the Steam frame's coming, because like I have my Valve Index, which I do like. So, and the Valve Index works just fine when I'm doing my PC games. I just don't get the Quest exclusives, but there weren't that many that I was really interested in. But the Steam frame is probably going to be the way to go when it comes out. I am very much looking forward to the Steam frame. I am probably going to go ahead and get the adapter. I do have a PlayStation VR 2 headset, so I may go ahead and get the PC adapter for that to see how that is with the PC setup. Also, I do know the Big Screen Beyond 2 is amazing and very light form factor, but it uses the, and I believe it'll even use the Vive sensors, but it does use the base sensors that come with the Index for like other things. It's just the headset, no controllers. So I don't know if the headset itself uses those, but Those are some options that are not Meta. Prolix says, bet on VR and their metaverse instead of AI, classic mistake. Well, they're fixing that. That's part of what we're doing. So let's talk about more of the studios, unfortunately, that we lost. Sanzaru Games was also founded in 2006, made a combination of its own games and contract titles for companies such as Sony, porting the original God of War series to the PlayStation Vita. Bet you didn't think that you'd hear a Vita mention this early in 2026 on the show, but there you go. Sensorio Games was also contracted by Facebook to build VR games for the Oculus Rift and its touch controllers between 2016 and 2019. Ripcoil in 2016 was a launch title for the Oculus touch controllers that was essentially an active VR take on Pong, where you leaned your body to catch and throw a cybernetic frisbee. VR Sports Challenge in 2016, which was another Oculus Touch launch title that featured football, basketball, hockey, and baseball, hoping to be the Wii Sports of early PC VR. This was back when they were, this was in the consumer version of the Rift here. Marvel Powers United VR in 2018, which was Facebook's 2018 blockbuster title for Rift and Oculus Touch, featuring 18 playable Marvel superheroes and online multiplayer co-op. Meta shut down the game in 2020, and while a fan project brought back single player in 2024, Meta got it taken down. So Meta learned from Nintendo on that one, didn't they? And then they did, in 2019, Asgard's Wrath, one of the meatiest made for VR games of all time. The 2019 Rift exclusive and Oculus Link launch title, an action-adventure RPG with over 30 hours of gameplay. In 2020, Sensorio Games was acquired by Facebook. In 2023, released Asgard's Wrath 2, taking the core essence of Asgard's Wrath to Quest 2 and Quest 3 standalone, with a semi-open world and a campaign more than 60 hours long. Exactly 1 year ago, Sensorio released the last major content update for Asgard's Wrath 2, stating it was now working on the next big thing, with no detail released on what that would be before the studio closed. And then Armature Studio was founded in 2008, mainly a porting studio, bringing PC titles to consoles and consoles titles to the PS Vita. Two mentions to the Vita in the second week of 2026 of this show. Fail Factory in 2017 is a whimsical puzzle game for the Samsung Gear VR, which I also have, where you complete tasks in a cartoon robot factory. It was later ported to Oculus Go, Rift, and Quest. Sports Scramble in 2019, a launch title for the Oculus Quest, and yet another hopeful Wii Sports of VR. It included tennis, bowling, and baseball. And then in 2022, Resident Evil 4 VR. This is their most significant VR project, and it was porting Resident Evil 4 to Quest 2, one of the first major traditional games to arrive on standalone headsets. Notice it says standalone headsets and not PC VR or PS5 VR, because I believe like Skyrim and Fallout got their VR versions, but they were on PC and PlayStation only. They were not on a standalone Android headset. Armature was acquired by Meta in 2022, and whatever they were working on, we don't know. It's been closed down. They didn't close all of their studios, but they did cancel the big game that one of the studios was kind of working on. Meta canceled the Batman Arkham Shadow sequel and conducted significant layoffs at Camouflage, which was the developer of the first game. Camouflage has not been entirely shut down, but it has seen significant layoffs and will no longer be developing VR games. Now, Sanzaru Studios, which we already talked about, they were actually working on the Arkham Shadow sequel. So that game is now been canceled because they closed down the studio that was doing it. In 2024, the founder and studio head of Camouflage, Ryan Payton, told Upload VR that he would love to make a sequel. And then 4 months ago, the voice actor for Commissioner Gordon confirmed that a sequel was about to enter development. Work on that sequel had started at Sanzaru Games, but has now fully ended, and the sequel will no longer be happening. So the closure of the three studios and significant layoffs at Camouflage are part of a wider strategy shift at Meta, seeing funding from VR reallocated towards smart glasses, a reaction to the sales momentum the company saw last year for each type of device. Through at least the first three quarters of the year, Quest headset sales were down compared to 2024. Meanwhile, sales of the Ray-Ban Meta glasses skyrocketed, with several variants selling as fast as they could be manufactured. This week, Bloomberg reported that Meta was considering doubling or even tripling smart glasses production capacity. And last month, Meta officially confirmed that, quote, "we are shifting some of our investment from Metaverse toward AI glasses and wearables," unquote, and the layoffs at its acquired studios are some of the first casualties of this shift. So essentially, the Ray-Ban Meta glasses, which are a lot like the, you know, it's a next generation of Google Glass, if you remember those, that took off. Now, there is no developer ecosystem for the Ray-Ban Meta glasses. That's why my company gave me a MetaQuest 3 to work on, because they really wanted to be the Ray-Ban Meta glasses, and they wanted me to figure out how to hack it, and I told them, I'm not that good. So you need to find someone else. So they got me a MetaQuest 3, and I did something for them there that they eventually wanted to port to the Ray-Ban Meta glasses, despite the fact that there is no developer ecosystem, and there's really no way to run software on the Ray-Ban Meta glasses that's not by Meta. And Escher and Matt even says, yeah, I know a few people who are really into the glasses. And like a lot of people are all in on that. And that is what people want, because it allows them to, you know, stream things, take pictures, and the social media stuff. They don't necessarily want to play games on it. It's more of a social media tool. It's a social thing. And a lot of people are into that. It's trendy. That since that's what the market has decided, the free market has decided that this is where we're going. Meta says, okay, nobody wants to play Deadpool VR, so let's put our money in things that people want. And so I'm betting Camouflage is now working on apps for their smart glasses in-house, because they're not going to let third party right now, they're not letting third parties into that ecosystem, so they're going to have Camouflage in that ecosystem. And some people say that there's still a Quest 4 in development, but why at this point? Like this, why would you want a Quest 4 if basically Meta bought a whole bunch of developers and now I've shut them all down. Now, a couple of developers still remain. The main one I will bring up is Beat Studios. That is Beat Saber. And it has not been shut down. I don't know if there have been any layoffs, but it's also a live service game across multiple platforms. And so it's probably making enough money for them to keep it going. But hopefully, Beat Studios gets to go independent instead of just being shut down. If Meta really wants to divest from VR gaming, because Beat Saber, unfortunately, or fortunately for them, like I'm very happy for them. Beat Saber so far is really the only experience that you get in VR that you can only get in VR. There is no way that Beat Saber works on a monitor without completely changing its gameplay. And it is one of the few things you need to do in VR is play Beat Saber. And people have argued with me on that point. And we would go through the idea of how would you make Beat Saber work on a monitor with the controller. And it's a completely different game. It is no longer Beat Saber. And that's the way it should be. It should be drastically different to make it a killer app for VR. And Beat Studios had that, and Meta bought them. But they let them continue to make multi-platform versions. They supported on PC VR. They supported on PlayStation 5. And I don't know if they still support PlayStation 4. That might have sunsetted. But they still supported on other platforms. And it's going to make money for Meta, even if they're not on the Quest. So that's... thankfully, Beat Studios is still there, but who knows for how long. Because they're not going to make Beat Saber for the Ray-Ban Meta glasses. And there's nothing in Beat Saber that would use their AI initiative. So I don't know how much longer it's going to survive at Meta. I hope they survive and just get spun off or sold off to something that is more gaming-focused, because Meta is no longer in the game business, apparently. And it sucks that PC VR got smothered by the Quest. Meta did a very good job of smothering VR gaming, making it only on the Quest, only available to people with Meta accounts and Meta devices. And people stopped making games for PC VR because the Meta Quest outsold all of them. I believe there's, 70 million Meta Quest devices in people's homes? I believe that's the number, which is a huge number. It's one of the best-selling consoles of all time at that number. And so that's what they made everything for, and not for the Valve Index or Big Screen Beyond or even the Microsoft Mixed Reality, which Windows Mixed Reality is gone too. Microsoft killed all that. It's a shame that Meta took everything and now everything's shut down. So I'm not going to sit here and say things like VR is going to take over the world, because it's not. I don't think it will. I had people 6 years ago argue with me saying that the Quest was going to make it so nobody played games on a flat screen anymore. The next Call of Duty would be strictly in VR and the world will love it because it's way more immersive. And I was like, no. Like, we didn't stop getting 2D games after there were 3D games. We did for a little bit. You know, there was a time in the late 90s nobody made any 2D games. But that ended pretty quickly. I wish good VR took off and was at least usable. We do have the metaverse. I've mentioned it before. The metaverse is VR chat. The issue that VR chat runs into is that VR chat is heavily furry and anime waifu encoded. And so there are a lot of people that are uncomfortable with how furry and anime waifu VR chat is encoded, but it's done very well for the developers of VR chat. And, the reason it's not up at the next level, because like businesses aren't going to do something where most of the avatars look like either furries or anime waifus. It's not a good professional look, but for what VR chat's trying to do, it's perfect. It is absolutely perfect. So I don't want VR chat to change, but I am saying we have the metaverse. It's VR chat. It's not Horizon Worlds. It's unfortunately not PlayStation Home. It's not any of that stuff. It might be Fortnite, Fortnite's creative mode or whatever. That's the only other thing that would be close to the metaverse, but really VR chat is the metaverse that you read about in Ready Player One. It's just filled with furries and anime waifus. And if you're okay with that, VR chat's free. Check it out. And you do not need a headset. You can use mouse, keyboard, monitor, and go into VR chat on your PC. As Sharon Matt says, I try not to think about what would happen if Oculus didn't sell to Facebook, mostly because if it didn't happen, Palmer Luckey might not have gotten heavily into financing certain political candidates that shall not be named. But I think Oculus, at the time, Oculus was not able to afford making their consumer product. I don't think that we would have seen the Oculus Rift actually make it to store shelves without some type of outside investment. I don't think Oculus alone could do that. And that's why I defended the purchase in 2012, because I wanted to see the Oculus Rift on store shelves. And I did not think that Oculus could do it by themselves. And I thought at the time, because remember, this was also before Cambridge Analytica, and like this was before we knew how, I don't know, I mean, evil, I guess, I don't know, that Facebook was. We obviously had LinkedIn because everybody was at that time, but not as bad. Like, we didn't know how bad it was going to get back then, so we were a little more optimistic about it. Escher Mann even says, the financing deal felt like the right time. Yes, it did. I'm glad it happened. It did spur the VR revolution. We had some really great times. 2016 was great, especially with the HTC Vive coming out. 2018, 2019 was also great with, the Rift 2 and the Valve Index, which I still use to this day, the Valve Index. And so maybe 2026 with the Steam Frame will be the next thing. And it's going to be a standalone headset. And maybe some of that stuff that we lost when it was all in the Meta ecosystem, maybe now if it's in the Valve ecosystem, it'll be better off. We're going to take a quick music break. And then we'll come back and talk about what else people are wanting to talk about, or maybe take a call in the green room on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. So you can hop in during the break if you want to chat after this break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're in the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Bobby Blackwell, I choose you.
I've been chosen. I'm so excited. I've been so chosen. Hello, everybody. Yes, if you want to leave a bumper, you do not need to choose me as your favorite Pokemon, because please, I don't want to be in a Pokeball. I don't want to live in a Pokeball. That's fine. I'm good with that. So all you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice or a video with just your voice. I will choose which DMCA violation to put behind it, and contact me probably on Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. Contact me there and maybe we'll get you into the rotation here into the show. We do actually have somebody in the green room, so we are going to go ahead and check out and see who this is. I'm going to get everything set up so I can drag them into the green room, and we can have a little bit of a chat. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this? I am hoping it...
Hey.
There it is.
How about now?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, I couldn't see your thing even lighting up on Discord.
Uh-oh. Is it?
Yeah. It's working now, so okay. I'm cool. I just wanted to bring up a little thing for next week.
All right. Tell me about it.
Well, we said that Orange Lounge Radio, while its original iteration was over, is not over.
Ooh.
And we've, between me having no voice and everybody else having things going on and a certain somebody doing certain announcing, we are planning on having season two after 23 years.
Ooh.
Start on the 25th.
That is so next Sunday.
That is next Sunday. We've got a little bit to do. There's going to be some shenanigans trying to get things put in order and showing up properly, something I needed to get Rob to help with. Mm-hmm. He's never going to be done. Never.
Never.
I'm feeling really good about it, and I hope that everybody still loves us, even if it's going to be a little different. Bring in a little bit more of the overall gaming culture, not just gaming, but movies and anime and stuff. But that being said, the meta thing, I saw it coming.
Yeah. I started seeing it coming after about a couple years. I just didn't know when it would come. And apparently it's 2026.
I had the feeling the moment I saw them throw all their eggs in that basket. I'm like, y'all know that basket is being carried by a very fickle fox.
Yeah.
And what do foxes like to eat? Eggs.
Yep.
I
can just still be sad about it. That's all. Because like, I kind of wish, I didn't wish VR went down this way.
Well, yeah. And I felt very strongly from when it started. I was like, this is why you diversify, you know? That's why you keep your other options open instead of throwing it all at one thing. That's why I feel really strongly about the whole AI push also being likewise destined to follow the similar path. But at the same time, I mean, it's great technology. I think that it should have been focused beyond just gaming or watching things. I mean, I would say more on certain things, but I am not permitted to because of my place of employment. But I think that it was a tool that had a lot of diverse potential that was being shoehorned into one kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and I would say like the one of the reasons I very early on misguidingly, hindsight being what it is, defended the purchase is because this buying into Oculus the way Facebook did at that time before they were called Meta was them diversifying because all Facebook had was a social media network at the time. And and we were still used to because you know we you and I remember, you know, we used to migrate social media, what we now call social media, all the time. LiveJournal died, we've moved to MySpace. MySpace died, we do move to this, move to this. So we're like, Facebook is just going to die very soon, so they need to diversify. And it turns out Facebook didn't die. And so they just started
just
doing all this
inside.
Other stuff. Yeah, it's dead inside, but it's unfortunately not dead on the outside.
And I thought that that wasn't the right move, because I really... To me, it looked like they were just sort of crutching on it, you know, like we think our ship might sink. We're going to go log on to, you know, just cling on to this as our life raft.
But
I still feel that at the time it seemed to me like they were just jumping from one ship to the other, kind of like we were doing with the social media. And now, though, like Facebook itself, you know, if it didn't have Instagram.
mm-hmm.
it would be sunk.
Yeah.
Because I don't go on it anymore. A lot of people I know don't go out on it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but back to the meta thing, I feel like it was underutilized in a very, and I'm going to actually back that up, underutilized in a meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it became a communication tool of the marginalized, I think, you know, like you were saying, you know, the fan groups and the furries and mm-hmm. whatnot, but it really could have been marketed beyond that. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that we have, you know, refuges like that, but even still, it could have been more widespread. And I'll tell you what's made me think of it is 90s AOL.
Mm-hmm.
How you could go into a chat room and have it be Town Square Sailor Moon, who remembers?
Yep.
Or, you know, have it be, you know, Kuno's Island or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also had like your, you know, your hookup chats, and yep. you had your, I'm talking about woodworking chats mm-hmm. and your wrestling chats. And it was all different channels. And I think that there could have been an expansion into that and improve the social network aspect of it, as well yeah. as having your gaming aspects. But no.
And I think even
an opportunity.
In 2012, I think that's kind of what they were talking about doing, but then nobody actually did it. And then we got Horizon
exactly.
Worlds. They did Horizon Worlds, and that wasn't really, it didn't scratch the itch that they claimed it would.
Yeah, they really squandered it, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think they tried the right way.
Yeah. They didn't know what they were doing.
I'm not surprised.
And so, yeah.
Well, and that's kind of how I feel with the AI thing, too, is that people don't really know what they're doing, at least yeah. as far as the generative side of it goes.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching history repeat itself, and people do not like to go back and look at the painful history of their failures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they need to. You do not grow if you do not learn from your failure
yeah.
in this story. Likewise, you don't grow if you don't have challenges.
Right.
And you have to rise to your challenge instead of going, oh, that's too expensive. That's too hard. I'm going to do something else. I don't want to learn to write an email.
Yeah.
But that's my 2 cents on it.
Yep. So yeah. Orange Lounge Radio 2DX is coming back next week.
Very good. Yes. And that's only a hint of what we might talk yeah. about.
There you go. Well,
take care, buddy.
I look forward to it. Congratulations. Well, looking forward to hearing y'all next week on that. And we're going to
might even have a voice.
I hope so. Take care of your voice so we can have it, because we definitely want to hear it here.
Do.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Do.
Good to hear from
Anytime.
You.
Anytime. You too. Bye.
So that is it for me. I will see you next Sunday night. Where every Jamie has a voice, according to Pod Culture. Next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Fog Network. I will be back from Dice and Diversions in Atlanta after playing tabletop and board games. Don't worry, I'm not, like, doing a big recap of it, because I'll take, like, some pictures and talk about it, but I'm not going to, like, be doing videos. I'm not there as media. I'm not doing panels. I'm just there to play games. So I'm going to play some games this weekend. Maybe I'll tell you about some cool board games. Maybe. I mean, because I don't have video games in the title of the show. I can talk about board games on this show if I really want to. Maybe that's what I do in 2026. It's a little bit, it's not as depressing as layoffs. Anyway, so that is it. I will be back next Sunday night, as will Orange Lounge Radio, coming back for season 2, starting here in year 23. I'll be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly. You can also join our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where you can find out more information about the stuff that's going on, get more information about OLR coming back next week. And then also I'm on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com, not .bsky.social. And also I'm on Instagram at BobbyBlackWolf. Sometimes I post there as well. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but would not be able to make all this work without the people who go above and beyond. Thank you so much, because I am now starting to work on the taxes for Voice of Geeks Network from last year. So bits and subs absolutely do help. Thank you so much. Fifth Dream, resubscribe for the big 7-0. 70 months. We've been affiliates here for a while. Sean322 resubscribe saying woo 38. SSJ winner in a match, cheered 200 bits, and I believe that gave us a hype train. So thank you so much. We had a hype train here in the Twitch chat. Pod Culture gifted a sub, and it went to Apollo Neon X. So congratulations, Apollo Neon X, for your sub. Sean322 cheered 200 bits saying hype. And Orange Wright shared 200 bits and just said hype. Since it didn't have all the whys, I didn't have to do the voice twice. And then Mike Deft resubscribed for the 85th month, getting so close to 100. That is, thank you so much for being here and being a part of that. We are going to be doing some marbles on stream since OLR is coming back next week. We won't be doing marbles on stream after this. So this is going to be the final night of marbles on stream here on the Voice of the Geeks Network. The finale of marbles here on the post show. Then we will be then it will be OLR. We'll be back next week for all of that. So until then, I'm gonna play the music, get out of here, save the podcast show, and then we'll boot up some marbles, and hopefully there's no update that I have to download for it. Anyway, bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.